For those of you who don't know me, my name is Kelly Smith, pastor here at Grace Community Church. Glad you could be here this morning. We are excited to have you. This is a great season in the life of our church, in the life of church everywhere. But before we start the sermon today, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the Christmas offering in case you weren't here last week. Every year we do a Christmas offering that we take a Christmas Eve offering to bless a ministry or a couple different ministries, that we take every penny that's given, it just goes straight to them. We want to be nothing but helping them in the ministry they're doing. So last year we teamed up and we did Oaxaca, and we went down to Oaxaca, took a team down there, and we paid for two homes to be built down there. We raised over $19,000 last year. It was amazing and awesome. And this year we are doing the same thing. We're splitting it though this year between a local ministry and a foreign ministry. The local ministry we are going to be doing is something called Hope on Haven Hill. And Hope on Haven Hill is a service right here in Rochester, and also an outpatient service in Summersworth. And Hope on Haven Hill, what they do is they provide inpatient services and outpatient for women who are either pregnant or have young children who have substance abuse issues, who are homeless. And they take them and their child and give a place for them to recover, a place for them to grow, to continue to grow in God, and to be able to get a strong foothold in this world. And it's interesting because this Hope on Haven Hill, it's one of only two programs in the entire state of New Hampshire where you can go with your child if you're a mother. Everyone else, if you go to the program, kids can't come with you. And that's really tough if you are a single mom, homeless, with a one-year-old. How do you go and get help unless your child can come with you? So we're really excited to partner with Hope on Haven Hill. They're continuing to expand, continuing to reach people in this community. This last year, I think they reached about 160 different families that they were able to help them get off the street, give them services. They want to get a van so they can bring people to appointments, continue to help them grow so they aren't stuck with the chains of addiction and they have new hope in their life. So we're really excited to partner with Hope on Haven Hill. Locally. We also are doing an international ministry. We're going back to Oaxaca in February, so we want to raise money to pay for another entire house while we're down there. We're also going to be working, the team is leaving in February with 17 people, and they're going to go down. They're also going to be going to, am I saying this right, Trejo y Miel? Close? Close enough. Okay. What it means is wheat and honey, and what it means is taking care of the kids' needs, giving them food, but also giving sweet, a life, and so they're giving them help with their homework, they're giving them food to eat, they're giving them a safe place to be, tutoring, and they're expanding and adding a second floor on their place so that they can have a bigger kitchen and everything. So we are going to be partnering with them while we're down there to help build those things, but also we want to be able to fund an entire home for another family and say, we can take care of this whole house, you guys, we will help you build it, and you guys have a place to be in the community, have a safe place to be. Most of that community is one of the poorest places in Latin America. 3 out of 4 people live below poverty level without basic access to help, to clean water, medical things, education. The average education there is a 3rd to 4th grade education level for the entire community. It is a difficult place. And if we can come down and give them the love of Jesus, there's people already working in that community. We're just going down there to partner and help doing what they're already doing in their local community together. So if we can do that, be a part of that, that is something that we can be a blessing, but it also, honestly, blesses us. Because you go down there, you don't come back the same. You have a different heart. You go, I see what it means to be a hands and feet of Jesus to the least of these, and people that are on the margins and suffering in this world. So we're very excited to partner for both of these ministries for our Christmas Eve offering. Our Christmas Eve offering, like I said, is something that we're excited to do, we're excited to give. If this is your first week here at Grace, this is the interesting thing. We almost never talk about money whatsoever. It's just something we don't do. We go, if God is convicting them and they feel that like I should give and I want to give back to what God's done, we encourage you. This is the one time of year where like, hey, we want you to give sacrificially. Like, sit there and go, don't just give, but go, maybe I won't find that one gift. Maybe I'll do something different. I want to help people and pour into these communities and help others who are already helping people. We want to be a part of that. So I'm encouraging you to come out, to give, to be faithful with that. You can get the envelopes were on the seats last week. This week, they're back at the table. You can grab a Christmas Eve offering envelope. They'll also be at the Christmas Eve service. And you give. And we encourage you, give. Give sacrificially. Give from your heart. And let's see how we can just pour into these other ministries. We're excited to be a part of that. Let's hope that you're excited to be a part of that as well. All right. We are continuing on in our sermon series called Anthems. And this is an Advent sermon series. And if you don't know what Advent means, Advent literally means you have Advent, which is Latin Adventus from the Greek parousia, which means second coming. It means that we're not, when we talk about Advent, we're looking at the birth of Jesus and how that all took place. But it's to remind us of what's to come, that Jesus is coming again. He's coming back, and he's coming to continue to set things right, to go, there will be a new earth and a new heaven, and you get to spend eternity with me in my glory. We get to have that relationship for all eternity. So Advent is really looking back to look forward. And so as we've been talking about this Advent series and talking about anthems, the Anthem series is interesting because we're looking at the different things that have been sung or have been prophesied that came from this around the story of Jesus. And so the first two we had, the first one was expectation we talked about. And that one was Mary was told by the angel, you're going to have the Savior. He was going to be born. The Holy Spirit has put this child in your womb, and it is God, and he's going to come and deliver. And her expectation of what was to come and her excitement broke out in song and saying that, I'm so excited, God, you're taking the lowest of the lows and lifting them up, and you're going to take the high and bring them down, and you're going to be fulfilling what you told us you would do. And that excitement and expectation of what was to come. And last week we talked about preparation. That John the Baptist was in Elizabeth's womb, that John's father, Zachariah, that as he was being told by God of what was going to be happening, that your child will help prepare the way, and when he could, that he didn't believe in, so he couldn't speak, but then his mouth was open when John was born, said, this is my son, and God, you are bringing the Savior, and my son gets to help prepare the way. And he's going to prepare the way so that you can do your work in this world. And we talked about that is our job as well, is preparing the way for Jesus to come again, preparing hearts, sharing with others, for us to grow together. And today, we're going to be talking about the third thing, which is proclamation, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And we just heard that in a multiple of our songs. We've heard that good news, and we heard talking about that. And so we're going to talk today about when the good news of Jesus Christ was actually proclaimed to the world when he was born and how that happened. And so we're going to look through that real quick, and it starts with when Joseph and Mary, Jesus' parents, had to go to Bethlehem to do a census. Now, a census, if most of us know, it's where you get lots of information about people. And we do census in the United States, like every 10 years. The point of a census is so that you know how much people can pay for taxes. That's why we do a census. That's why Caesar Augustus did it, was, hey, I want to know everyone who's here, I want to know how much it is, how much I should be getting in taxes. Now, in the United States, we ask multiple questions. Where are people's income levels? How do they live? What do they watch on TV? But the real point of it is going, who's here, where are they at, and where can the tax burden continue to be? That's the major reason census happens, is for taxes. We have made it so we add more into it and start to learn about people as well, and learn about society so we can see what services need to be provided. But here, the census was all about taxes. It was all about going, what's happening? And so they went to Bethlehem, because that was David's family's lineage was from, or sorry, Joseph's lineage was the line of David from Bethlehem. So they went back to their place in Bethlehem to do the census. And we get there in the story right now in Luke chapter 2, which is where we'll be today. And it says, while they were there in Bethlehem, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. Many of us have heard this maybe a different translation where it says there was no room at the inn. And I think a lot of us have heard that. Before we kind of go more into the story, I do want to make sure I stop on this point because I think a lot of times many of our stories and many of the things like when we think of, okay, what was how did everything work out with Moses and stuff? Well, we think of, well, what was it, Charles Heston? Is that right? Who played Moses? What did he do? That's what Moses did. That's not really what Moses did. That's Hollywood's version of Moses. Most of us, I think, have a Hollywood version of Jesus being born in a manger. Most of us think, going, okay, there wasn't room at the inn. Well, there wasn't really local inns at that time. You have cities, all these houses be together, they didn't necessarily have what we would call an inn or a hotel or something like that in those days. You had people and their families and the rooms that were there. And many times your house would have three levels. You'd have the first level, which was kind of the living area, but it would also have areas for your animals. So at night, you could bring your animals into the first level of your home, and they could stay warm and stay safe. Then on the second level, you would sit there and you would have where the family slept. And then you'd have the roof on top of that, usually stairs up, that you could put a hut or covering on, and that was what was called the guest room. So people could stay with you on top of your roof. And we call that word, what this word of where they stayed was kataluma. Kataluma means a lodging place or a guest room or inn. So a lot of times when they say there was no room in the inn, what they're saying there is that they traveled back to Bethlehem, and they probably went to their family, and they went, we're full. We've got everyone packed in here. We can't fit another person on the roof. We can't fit another person in our bed. We can't do anything. But there is, you can stay on the first floor where the animals sleep at night, but you can stay down there. There's still room. We can kind of set you up in the corner, and you'll be inside our home, but in this guest area. There was no room in the guest area at top. You can stay with the animals down below. A lot of times they would have a manger built into the wall, which was just like a trough, so you could put hay or food in there, different foods in there, so the animals could eat. So when Jesus was born, he was put into that, because they were probably on the first level of the house with the animals. So it doesn't matter anything about our Christianity or beliefs, but it's interesting to know that when we talk about there was no room, it meant they were probably still staying with family, just with the animals on the first floor. So Jesus, side note there for you, it's a good side note though. Jesus was born, and the time comes, he's born, he's in the manger, he's staying at the house, and something amazing happens. It says, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. First of all, I want us to think about this. They're standing there, guarding their flocks, and an angel appears to them, standing next to them. And it says God's radiance was surrounding them. This wasn't just someone come up and like, hey, where'd you come from? He's like, oh, don't worry, I'm an angel. Like, God's radiance is surrounding them, and they're terrified. You're out in the middle of the field and something like this happened, I would be terrified. I would think aliens, like, you know, you would think something was going on. And he said, don't be terrified. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. I think this is really important for us to see. Every time that it talks about the Savior's coming, the Messiah's coming, Jesus is coming, it always says, I bring you good news. God never says, hey, angel, go down there, let them know I'm coming to earth, and tell them they're in trouble, right? He never says, tell them I'm coming. I'm coming, I'm going to save them, but it's going to be really bad for them. It's always good news. It's always good news that the Savior is coming to save us. This is good news given by God. And it should bring great joy. I bring you good news, great joy. This great joy is something we should have in our life. If we have Jesus in our life, it's good news for what he has, and it brings us great joy. That doesn't mean it brings us tranquility in every situation of going, hey, things will be easy. In fact, we're promised, if you follow me, your life will probably be more difficult. But you can have great joy through that difficulty because you have a life in Christ. You have a life in God. He's at the center of it, and the good news that he brings will change us. So the angel continues to talk to him, and he says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor. They're standing in a field. There's a single angel. The radiance of God is around them. From one angel standing there, they're terrified. And then it says, a whole multitude, a great company of angels are suddenly there. The word for that great company is actually plethos. And the word plethos means to be full or a great number multitude. It has this idea that they're standing there and suddenly everywhere they could see was an army of angels. It was full. There was a multitude. It was covering your vision. Angels everywhere. And they're shouting out. They're saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. This announcement right here is the first time that Jesus' birth is announced to the world. To say, guess what? Near here, a child is born. You need to go. This is crazy. He's so good. God's so great. Glory to him. In fact, this proclamation is actually called the Gloria. That is the word for it. It's the Gloria is what we say from the first word on glory to God in the highest. This is the announcement we have. And through this announcement, throughout the ages, we've had many songs that are written because of what was said right here. In fact, we sung one this morning. Angels we have heard on high, right? Angels we have heard on high. And they're talking about the angels telling them and then going because they're shepherds in the field. And this idea of the Gloria is an amazing thing. By the way, do you know how many syllables are in the word Gloria? It's 18. Did you know that? Gloria. It's 18 syllables in the word glory, right? So that's pretty cool if you think about that. God can do miracles in ways you don't even imagine. Because most people would say, three. But this idea that he came and he sent the angels and one angel to make the announcement, then a whole host of angels to say, this is what has happened. Glory to God. The first thing, not, hey, you want to hear some great news? It's glory to God in the highest. We need to remember that is what we need to have in our life, is this remembrance that everything we do should bring glory to God. Everything we have in our life should point back to him and bring glory to what he has done. Glory to God in the highest. So it goes on that after this happens, it says, when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Now notice they didn't say, so what do we do now? Who wants to talk about this? Who's going to say first what we just saw? No, their first reaction is, okay, we were just surrounded by angels and now they're gone. We've got to go to Bethlehem. We've got to see what's going on. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in a manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. I love that they sat there and they go, they heard this news. And the first thing they said is, we've got to go see what this is. If the Savior's been born, I've got to go. We've got to go see him. And then they saw him, and it was exactly what the angel has said. And notice the first thing they did, they started telling everyone what they had seen. Telling everyone the message God had given them. They shared it with everyone, and people were astonished. People were amazed at what they were told. How can this be? The Messiah? This is what we've been waiting for. What I love about this story is not just the story of God coming to earth as fully man and fully God. What I love about the story is how God revealed himself, how God made the announcement that I'm living among you. The Savior's here. I'm here to rescue you. When I look at the story, I love that I go, all right, who did he give this message to? Who was this message given? Well, the reality was it was given to shepherds. You may not know, but shepherds were kind of the lowest of the jobs. Think about when the prophet came to look for David. He said, where is this all your children? Like, well, we have one more. He's small. He's out in the field. Why do you think the youngest one, the smallest one, was out? because it was the worst job. And all the brothers were like, David will do it. They're like, I don't want to do it, but he made him do it. He was the little kid, right? No one wants to tend the sheep. They wander off. They do crazy things. Who here has worked with sheep? No one? They're dumb. I love sheep. I love them. They're so cute. They're not wise and smart animals. They just do their own thing, and they don't think of anything. Like, there's a cliff. I should go off it. Like, you have to watch them all the time. And so as a shepherd, it wasn't seen as a good job. It was seen, well, you can do it. You can do that job. And yet, these are the people that God came to and said, I'm going to proclaim to the world first. I'm going to tell them. I'm going to tell them that God has come. I think in our day and age, I think a rough estimate of what that would be comparable to, and I want no one to take offense to this. I believe every job's important. I think we need to do them all, so don't take offense. But if you clean out septic tanks, right? If you clean out a septic tank, that's a bad job. Your job is literally taking care of other people's poop. Like, it's not a good thing, right? It's dirty. It's not a fun job. You could pay me enough and I'd do it, but you couldn't pay me probably enough that I would want to do that job. It's not fun. That would be like if you said, hey, a septic guy came up to me and he told me he's got the new tax plan for America. We should listen. You'd go, are you sure? When was he figuring out this tax plan? While he was in the septic system? You would just go, wait, who are you? What's going on? Because this was a person who you wouldn't expect to be delivering this great news. This isn't the person you would expect to receive a good news. This is a person who was just doing their job. It was a dirty job. It wasn't a fun job. But they were doing it. And this is the person that God came to. He said, look, you, shepherds, go. The Savior's been born. I love that this is who he gave the message to. He said, I'm not going to give it to kings or rulers or people in charge. I'm giving it to this person who's kind of the fringe of this society, one of the lowest positions of work. You are getting the news first. Go share and spread my message. The proclamation of the Savior was given to the least of these. It was given to the average person to say, go and share that with the world. The other thing I love about the story is, for who was this message given? And this message was given for a certain group of people. And it says right there, when the angels proclaimed, they said, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Well, who does God's favor rest? It rests on those who accept his forgiveness. Those who accept his free gift of forgiveness. He says, if you accept my forgiveness, if you accept it, my favor rests on you. And I put it on you and I take care of you and I will bless you and I will lift you up. It doesn't mean life will be easy. It means I've got you wrapped in my arms. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on who is faithless. And those who accept his forgiveness, accept that gift freely, accept that salvation. And then we have what's kind of called a churchy word here. But it's abide in him. This word abide, it's churchy. You probably won't hear abiding anywhere else except at church. But what it means is it means to remain in, to endure in a long time. It means to stay where you are and to continue on forever. Just keep in it. And this idea of abiding in him means God puts his favor on us. We are saved. We accept the forgiveness. And now we abide in him, remain in him. And he continues to put his favor on us. In fact, in John 15:4, it says, remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. The message was given to us. The message was given for us to say, look, accept my gift of salvation. Remain in me. My favor will rest on you. I will care for you. I will take care of you. Even the birds of the field, they don't worry about eating. Do you think you have to worry about anything? I'll give you everything you need. Not everything you want. Everything you need in this life. I will care for you. I will take care of you. message was given to say there's going to be peace. Peace for those in the world that accept my gift. So the question becomes, so what about us? This is a great story of Jesus, great story about the shepherds, but how does it affect us today, right now? How does this deal with us when we're looking at the second coming? Well, it starts in a very easy place. Proclaim the good news. It is good news that Jesus came. It is good news that God came to reconcile us to himself. And guess what? It's good news that he's coming back. It's good news. But it means you have to accept what that good news is. Salvation through Christ. You need to proclaim the good news. Now, this can be very difficult for a lot of people going, I don't know how good I am at proclaiming the news. I don't know. Well, we just got done with something called the SOE, School of Evangelism class we did, that was run here downstairs, and they've been going through this class all fall, and they are right now, they're in New York City. They left Friday morning, they've been there the whole weekend. They went to the homeless shelters, they went to soup kitchens, they went out on the streets, they were giving food, they brought warm coats with them, they were doing different outreach stuff, and they were down there meeting with people and proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And guess what? I'm going to tell you the exact thing I told them the night before they left. I sat down there and I said, look, you don't need theological training to go and proclaim the good news. Is it good to read the Bible? Yes. Does it give us knowledge and understand of God? Yes. And those things can be very helpful and they can be good and they help edify or lift us up or encourage us so we can grow in God. But guess what? You don't need theological training to proclaim the good news. You also don't need all the answers. You do not need all the answers to proclaim the good news. I do not have all the answers. I will be very honest with that. I don't have all the answers. But what I can do is say, I may not have all the answers, but let me tell you what God's done in my life. What I have is my testimony. You need to share your testimony. Because guess what? If I stood up here for 45 minutes and talked about, went through systematic theology and said, let's go through some theological stuff, it would be very interesting, I think. It would also be very good. It would help us understand more and build it up. But at the end of that, you're going to go, that's interesting. I didn't know that. That's interesting. I never saw it that way. And you might change how you see some things. But if I want to proclaim the good news, I'm going to talk to you and say, let me tell you about my life. Let me tell you about how I struggle with drug addiction. Let me tell you about how I was looking at going to jail for a long time. Let me tell you about how I didn't think I would ever walk again. Let me tell you about all the difficulties I've had in my life, of all the struggles I've had. And let me tell you that I wouldn't be here without God. If God hadn't saved me, and hadn't continued to work in me, and hadn't redeemed me to himself, guess what? I wouldn't be who I am. I probably wouldn't be on this earth. The only reason I have that is because God changed my heart. God changed my life. He changed who I am. And every day I want to be more like him because of what he's done for me. That testimony, guess what? People can relate to that. They can sit there and go, that's good news. That is good news. And that's great joy. Because guess what? I have great joy through all these things. I suffer on a daily basis with pain. Most of you know that. I'm so joyful for it. How can God use it today for his glory? In my mind, I sit there and go, I can have great joy in Jesus Christ. Through the suffering. Guess what? God doesn't say great joy and nothing's going to go wrong. He said you're going to be in the storm and it's going to be raging all around you and life may feel like it's falling apart. And guess what? I'm in the boat right next to you. I'm right with you. Guess what? I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to give you rest. You stay in me. Abide in me, remain in me, and I'll remain in you. No matter what the storm is, I'll give you peace. Glory. faith rests. That is the good news. It's the good news for us to continue to proclaim to others. To remind them, that's what God still wants for us. We look back at Advent, we look back at the birth of Jesus, but it's to look forward that He's coming again. That we get to live right now in His favor. We get to accept His forgiveness right now, and it changes our life. And then we can proclaim that to others throughout the world. Let's go ahead and pray together. Dear Lord, thank you so much we could be together right now. Thank you that we could be in this room worshiping you, singing songs of praise to you, having a relationship with you that, God, I pray gets stronger every day. Lord, it's only possible because you came down to earth. You came fully God, fully man. You said, I will provide a way because you can't. You've chosen to go away from me, so I will provide the way for you to come back. God, thank you for proclaiming yourself to the world through the least of these. God, we are the least of these. You take the weak and you make them strong. Thank you for the gift you've given us. I thank you for the love you've shown us. Lord, I pray that we would have soft hearts to receive your message. Hearts that we can sit there and go, God, you are great. I need you in my life. I need you to work through me. There's a hole that only